This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and I am welcoming you to the show, the first show ever after Thanksgiving. I know everyone feels all bloated, full of all that food, and I hope that you feel very nutritionalized, I should say. That's a new word. Anyway, so glad that you're tuning in. This is Chris Brown. And hey, you reach out to the show, 866-357-3283. We'd love to take your call today, 866-357-3283. Or you can email at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And on social media, at chrisbrownonair is the handle. Hey, make today the day that you sign up for the Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway. We're giving away $100,000 worth of cash and prizes, and I want you, that's right, you, to get in on it. You can find out more at stewardship.com. Again, we're taking your calls today at 866-357-3283. And first up from Columbus, Ohio, is Justin. Justin, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Doing well today. Thanks for chatting me through a couple of questions that I have.
Yeah, I'm here for you. What do you need?
Well, I believe it's a spiritual question just as much as it is a math question. So
good.
Who better to handle it than Chris Brown? So
I'm much nicer to Rihanna, right?
you just pushed me right through. It's fantastic. I tell you what I've got going on. Let me give you a quick bit of history and where I'm at, and then you can help me hopefully move forward, okay?
Okay.
I've been listening to you for quite some time. We were in baby step three for a little while and then got a letter from the IRS realizing that we were back to baby step two. No problem. Got that taken care of, but it took us a little bit of time. We have had to hit the pause button.
Yeah.
Throughout that process, we have cash flowed a couple of babies, which was great. We have cash flowed a couple of cars that completely died. When I say died, had to be towed away from the home and sent to the junkyard, kind of towed, right? So, you know, we've hit the pause button three or four times in the last 4 years. And I always feel like, you know, Murphy's Law, right? It just happens. Yeah. But we don't stress out when it happens because we've made a plan. We've been on the plan for quite some time and we're good to go. One of the things that I realized that I needed to do was I had that income problem. The wife and I had decided that when we had babies, she was going to stay at home. It was important for us, for our family, that we wanted to try to do everything we could to have her be able to stay at home. So I needed to up my game a little bit. So we cash flowed putting myself through real estate school, which sounds crazy, but I've been getting some phone calls from actually one of Dave Ramsey's real estate ELPs begging me to come work for him. And a passion that I had in my heart for a long, long time, and decided that I'd go ahead and do that. So while I had my current outside sales position, that took pretty good care of us, made a little over $84,000 last year. My estimated net income this year will be a little over 97.
Good.
Here's my question. We found out about the tax debt. We, in the middle of that, we had the baby, you know, so we were basically out of emergency fund, and we had one of our vehicles that got totaled. It was T-bone. My wife was in an accident, and all of a sudden now we're out of a car. We just paid for the baby, and now we don't have any cash at all, and I did the unthinkable, and I went and I bought a $9,000 beat-up van and financed it, and it's making me sick.
Yes,
we are ready to get that cleared up and clean. We have about $11,000 in tax savings because I'm a, you know, 1099 type employee. We've got $8,000 in our emergency fund. Like I said, we've been bouncing back and forth between two and three, which is not the standard plan. But it seems like for the last 5 years, we've always had a storm coming. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
So right now I'm sitting on $9,000 in debt, and it's killing me. I have the money to pay it off, but I also am in my first year of real estate, and January is right around the corner. Estimated closing, I've got another $6,000 worth of income coming to me in the next 30 days. And then after that, I just hope that I'm doing well. Now, I do have about $80,000 worth of income potential sitting out there on the market ready to be sold right now.
Yeah.
I have a lot of listings out there. I've been working my tail off, but, it could take 2 weeks. It could take 2 years. So my question is, do I do what my brain tells me to do and pay this van off and be rid of it?
Yes.
That's what I do.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes, and yes. Proverbs 6:5, run. Just imagine that barrel of shotgun as you're a gazelling around, and that barrel is pointed at you, and you're supposed to free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And so I totally get it. I know all the premise, all the tension, all the wrestle that's behind your question. I get it. I get looking ahead. That's awesome. Trying to be wise. Awesome. But I don't get the keeping the debt around. So let's get rid of that. So what that's going to do is going to put you in a little bit of a moment. It's going to put you in this little moment like, oh, shoot. And that is going to, like they say that if you're in a low budget scenario on a creative team, that forces another level of creativity. And that's what it's going to do in your budget for your personal life. It's going to say, okay, what do I need to do? I need to either A, get some part-time stable salary outside of the real estate that's just still kind of, developing as a career. Sell some more stuff, maybe squeeze the budget a little bit more. Maybe what you're going to do is you're going to pay off that debt, then pay yourself the debt payment, and act like it's already gone. So whatever that payment is, pay yourself that, and that will increase the accelerate the amount of savings so you can get that savings back up as soon as possible. But I think you're going to be fine. You're only digging into that that tax money a little bit. The rest is all in the emergency fund. And I think you just do whatever it takes to make sure you have that tax money by April 15th. You'll be good to go.
Very good. I think I just needed to hear it from an outside source because my heart and my brain tells me two different things, and I've prayed and I've thought through it and I've asked him 1,000 times and I'm wondering, am I being responsible or am I being scared? But you're right.
Yeah. I think if you were to do this, pay it off and then be lazy, that would be irresponsible. But I can tell in the tone of your voice, the perspective that you have, you've got all the makings of somebody who's going to make 150 next year. So that's not just like telling you what you want to hear. I would tell you if you had a perspective problem, the perspective that you have, the spiritual perspective that you have, the personal responsibility perspective you have, is promotable spiritually and at your workplace. And now instead of you getting the $3,000 real estate deals, you're going to start getting the $6,000 deals, and the leader of your team is going to be like, you know what? He's been faithful with little. We can trust him with much. And you're going to start getting some bigger deals. You just keep that perspective right. A lot of times success doesn't come from a manual. It comes from a mindset. And Justin, you've got it.
I appreciate that so much. You definitely helped me take that step forward. And I think you're right. When I get in a crisis situation in my life, I always just figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have a very pizza too, and that's okay. I can do that.
I mean, you just told me you got an IRS bill. You told me your wife got T-boned. You had two cars go down, and you're calling, going, "Yeah, and it's all good. We're just going to keep going." I just love that. That's awesome. I mean, you could really have your head in the sand, thinking the world is ending, and you're the man. I mean, you are going to be very successful. God's all over your life, and we're cheering you on, my friend.
I appreciate your perspective and your time, man. Thanks so much for walking me through that.
All right, thanks, Justin. That is awesome. I mean, folks, that is what it's all about. When you talk about managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory, that's managing even your not so favorable circumstances, God's way and for God's glory. You ever thought about that way? We're actually managing conflict in our life, God's way and for God's glory. We're managing those ridiculous circumstances, the Murphy's Law type situations, God's way and for God's glory. And Justin is doing that. Very inspiring.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A+ accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283. Next up, from Savannah, Georgia, this is Teddy. Teddy, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, honored. How can we help?
Chris, I'm buying a new car, and just wanted to ask you, I don't know if there were, I could tell you my income and all that kind of stuff, but as much background as you need, you asked me, but I wanted to ask, does it make sense to buy an additional warranty on the car?
I'm not a big fan of warranties, and here's the reason why. There's a warranty company that puts that out. And so If they're the ones putting it out, do you think they're putting together something that they can lose money on?
No.
They're not. They're putting something together that they're going to make a ton of money on. So whatever your premium is, whatever it's going to cost you, $100 a month, $200 a month, whatever it is, you will not make up for that. It's about a 2% chance that you're going to get your money back on that money.
Okay.
You're going to throw that money down the drain. So no, I don't like it. I don't like warranties. I don't like financing cars. I don't like any of it. So I'm all about paying cash for cars, and I'm all about no warranties.
Okay.
Sound good?
Well, it really helps me out. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, I had referenced the financing a car. You might be there right now. You might be pulling into a car lot right now. And I just feel like I need to tell us, all of us, just remind us, because those cars are so pretty. Those cars smell so good inside. I don't know what they put in those cars, but they smell so good. Here's the deal. When you buy a brand new car, you lose 25% of the value immediately when you drive off the lot. You lose 70% of the value in the first 4 years. That average car payment in America is $499 a month. Imagine what you could do with that. You know, the average car that's bought today is $26,000 at 9.6% interest over 6 years. So when you say, oh, I can afford the payment, oh my goodness, you don't know what you're saying. Do you know at the end of that 6 years, you've paid $33,000 for a $26,000 car? And the car's only worth $6,000 6 years later. What a horrible mathematical explosion in the wrong direction. What we're looking to do, hey, I'm all for you paying payments. Hey, listen, hear me. I want you to pay payments. You guys ready? Pay payments to yourself. Pay payment $500 a month to yourself. Go buy a $1,000 car, and for 10 months, pay yourself $500 a month. At the end of the 10 months, guess what you have? You have $5,000. Put that on top of the $1,000 car you have. Now you have a $6,000 car that's worth $6,000. Do it for 10 more months. Guess what? Now you have an $11,000 car that's worth $11,000. And you just keep going. You just keep going. And then you're adding the value of the previous car to it. So man, 30 months from now, you could have a $17,000 car that's actually worth maybe $17,000 to $20,000. That seems to be a lot wiser of a decision. Play that out for 6 years and look where you're at 6 years later. Instead of having a $33,000 car that you paid $33,000 for a car that's worth six. Ouch. I'm not griping at you. I'm trying to inspire you to pull out of that car lot. You just pulled in. Now it's time to pull out without a new car. Okay. Oh, anyway, folks, it is Black Friday. You know what that means? That means some of you are on the car lot. Get out of there. Oh, it's Black Friday, and you know what that means. Lots of crowds, lots of sales. Well, I have a great way for you to beat the crowds at the stores and help you, you know, find incredible gifts for everybody on your Christmas list. Our Black Friday sale is back for the second year in a row at stewardship.com. We're offering our lowest prices of the year on some of our best-selling books, classes, and more. But don't wait, because it's only for today. You can't wait till Monday. Can't wait till tomorrow. No, today, Friday. Get Dave Ramsey's best-selling book and audiobook, The Total Money Makeover, for just $19. Pick up one of our envelope systems, over 50% off. Or get the class that has helped over 4.5 million people take control of their money with Financial Peace University at our lowest price of the year. This is your chance to give the gift of hope to the loved ones in your life. You seriously do not want to miss our Black Friday sale today only. right there at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and we want to celebrate you. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, every story from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And leave us a voicemail. Let's get back to Chris.
From Grand Rapids, Michigan, this is Dan. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, I just was just curious on a quick situation that I'm in here. So basically what's going on is that I was speaking with a mortgage company, and the gentleman said that my credit should be good enough and ready to be able to buy a house this time next fall. I just got a couple of hiccups on there that I have to take care of.
Cool.
The situation that I'm running into is that my wife's credit was not looking so good. I was just curious, would it hurt me to do this by myself, or maybe for me to pay off mine, it's going to be a lot better than her paying off all hers. Would it be possible and hurt us in the long run if she were to file for bankruptcy? And then by the time this time next year, it should be discharged. And would that hurt us to be able to put us both on the loan for the mortgage?
Well, there's a lot of questions within that question.
Sorry.
I think, okay, so two things. One, when it comes to buying the home, if you can get it on your income only, it just simplifies the process and get the loan only in your name. The only drawbacks to that is if your income to debt ratio is higher, which it will be, that will possibly generate a higher interest rate or less favorable terms. And so you got to see if that's going to hurt you that way. You know, of course, you can qualify on your own, but are you going to like the terms? And of course, we want you to have a 15-year fixed loan with you know, with enough down where you avoid mortgage insurance, 10 to 20%. Of course, we don't want your mortgage payment to be any more than 25% of your take-home pay each month as well. So just take that stuff into consideration when you're going to get the mortgage. Of course, the deed would be in both of your names, but the loan wouldn't. It could just be in your name. So
Correct. That
takes care of that issue. The other issue is cleaning up your wife's credit. I wouldn't want you to file bankruptcy on that credit. I'd want you to actually find out what's due, and I'd want you to pay it. I'd want you to get after it, regardless of interest rate. I wouldn't want you worried about credit score. I want you worried about making sure that if you have debts out there, I want you to pay them. So okay. I don't know. Is it like 10 grand? Is it like 20? Is it 60? What is it?
It's probably about, it's reasonable, you know, it's 15 to 20, but a lot of it's school debt.
Yeah. Well, and here's the deal. You can't just forfeit school debt. It won't go away. So I'd put a plan together to get rid of it regardless of your credit score. I would just do the right thing, get that off your back. But as far as when it comes to the home loan, if it's going to expedite things for you a little bit, then, you know, you can just do it in your name. But I would really strongly recommend, this is not why you called, but I just want to put this seed into your life. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to get completely out of non-mortgage debt first and build up an emergency fund first on top of that, then put aside a down payment on a house, and then purchase a home in that order. So it might mean a little 24-month delay, 18-month delay, but then you'd be doing it in a way where you're a little bit more risk-averse for your family.
Understandable. All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dan. All right, folks. Got an email here from Lee. It says, "Dear Chris, in the past, when I had a good-paying job, I would tithe my 10%, or God's 10%. it looks like I'm going to be the email police here. Anyway, I know what you meant. When my income declined or came to a screeching halt and I didn't have enough to pay for my bills and tithe, I would give him the leftovers. I've been giving retirement a try, but it hasn't been working out too well. I'm $65,000 in debt, and I don't have enough monthly income between my Navy retirement check and Social Security to pay my monthly bills, let alone tithe. Even so, for the last 4 months, I have been tithing my 10%, even though with each passing month, I slip further and further into debt. There are only three people that I blame for the fact that I'm in this far into debt, and their names are me, myself, and I. I certainly don't expect God to dump a windfall onto my lap to help alleviate my financial woes. So What I guess I'm asking for is advice as to how I could possibly dig my way out of these circumstances while my head is still just barely above water. Thank you in advance for your time, consideration, and advice. Well, Lee, thanks for your service, first of all. It sounds like you were in the Navy and you retired. It's awesome. I'd also say I really admire your personal responsibility. You know, me, myself, and I, that you did it. And I think that's great. I don't think you need to be too hard on yourself, but I'm a firm believer that self-awareness is huge. Many times the cure for our situation lies behind our lack of self-awareness. Let me repeat that. Many times the cure for our situation lies behind our lack of self-awareness. And we've got to get that lack of self-awareness away out of the way so that we can get to the cure. I'm not sure how old you are. I'm not sure, Lee, how much income you make. I'm not sure about those things. But if I were you, I would stop all discretionary spending outside of your, what we call our four walls. And that is your clothing, your transportation, your utilities, shelter, and food. So your utilities is kind of packed in with your shelter. Those are your four walls. All other discretionary spending is done. Completely stopped, including your retirement contributions. Okay, you know, I don't want you, putting money towards retirement until you're completely out of consumer debt. And I would sell anything that's possible as well. But let me be clear with this. I would not stop tithing. I just wouldn't. We have to fundamentally remember two things, folks, when it comes to tithing. It isn't we have to, but we get to. We're returning the tithe and we're giving. Those are two activities that are for us, not anything that anyone wants from us, for us. It keeps us open-handed, which brings fulfillment. Winston Churchill says, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a life by it. It's fulfilling. And it also reminds us that we're not the owner, that we're managers. And that is relieving. That's why it's for us. It's like, oh, that's right. I was never the owner in the first place. The other reason is we begin to engage in God's economy. What do I mean by that? Well, I would much rather have 90% of the income that comes through my hands and do it God's way than to have 100% and do it my way. And so I would continue to tithe for sure. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Proverbs 21:26 says, the righteous gives and does not hold back. And Proverbs 11:24-25, I love this. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. I love that. Very cool stuff. And let me just, you know what, Lee, you're not alone in this. This is a constant battle with most of our listeners. And so I just thought it might be good to spend some time in prayer on this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we come to you right now as a true stewardship community. We want to come to your throne right now and just ask for your help with this perspective change. God, we've got finite minds. And you're an infinite God, and we don't understand your ways, that we would actually be giving up mathematical money and that you would bless us in return. It makes no sense. Of course, that's not our motive. But we have to trust. This whole idea is about faith, this whole idea of returning 10% back to you. So anyone right now, God, who's listening in, and that part of their faith is not real to them, I'm praying boldly right now on behalf of the entire community, that you would make your promises clear to them. They'd have clarity in this area right now, and that you'd give them courage not to give leftovers, not to give a tip at the end of the month or the end of the week, but to give first fruits, to return first fruits back to you, proving to themselves and proving to you that they truly do believe in you. It's hard for us, God, to believe in the streets of gold when we can't even believe that returning 10% is something that you want for us. So, God, we're just asking for you to give another deposit. You've done it thousands of times before. We're praying for you to give us a deposit of faith today. here on Black Friday. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, what a great way for us to end a faith-strengthening connection there all around the returning of the tithe. I want to remind you, don't forget, as we end our broadcast, I want you to enter our Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway for your chance to win that cash and those prizes. We'll be drawing a winner every week. All you have to do is go to stewardship.com to enter. There's no purchase necessary, and you can enter once a day, every day, for your chance to win. Just another way that we're trying to encourage you, trying to equip you, and empower you with the ultimate goal of depositing hope into your life. Hope from the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless y'all.